I'd like to begin with a question, and this is a kind of a rhetorical question, but are you essential or non-essential? It's been one of those questions that's asked a lot lately, and some people wear it on their sleeves, I'm essential, and others kind of take it personally if they're not. For the past 2 months, I was told I was non-essential, but it was confusing because houses of worship are actually considered essential, and yet they still had to remain closed. I'm told that's changing now. But how good it is to know that in God's eyes, each of us is so essential that he would give himself to rescue us. For God so loved the world. You and I are more essential to him than we could ever know, and we can take deep comfort in that. These are interesting times we live in. We've never seen anything like them. Many people are fearful for good reason. Others are frustrated by the politicians who are trying to control every little detail of their lives instead of giving people freedom to decide for themselves. Again, for good reason. And it seems like no matter where you turn, you hear differing advice. Just this past week, I heard that wearing a mask can be harmful to your immune system. And then 2 days later, I heard the very opposite. For months, we were told that surfaces were a huge factor in the transmission of COVID-19. But just this week, the CDC announced not so much. So how do we navigate these waters wisely, with love? I mean, we're off the maps here, and there be dragons. Ah, but there also be badgers and possums and owls. Oh, my. I'll explain more of what that means in a moment, but that's the title of the sermon. And before we do anything else, we need to go to the Word of God. We'll be reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. I'm going to read to you from the ESV because that's the closest to the literal Greek translation. And I'd like to ask you, please follow along in your Bibles with me, and after I read it, please read it again as Jarek plays, and in that time, ask God to give us all more of his Spirit and a deeper understanding of his Word. Here we are, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. This is a fascinating passage of Scripture because it's just two short verses, but when and where they occur say a lot. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, which was, of course, a church that was wrestling with spiritual maturity issues. Some were so mature that they would be sure to let you know. In other words, they weren't. And some looked at them and kind of took it in and thought, well, I can never be so spiritual as they are, so why bother? I'll go ahead and just do what I want. This is the last chapter of the letter where Paul is taking care of last-minute details. I might spend the winter there, be sure to welcome Timothy when he comes. It's a list. But right there in the middle of it, like someone walking out the door, he stops and turns around as if to say, whatever you do, don't forget this. And what he writes, inspired by the Spirit, sums up the message of the entire letter. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Oh, these are good words for us to take to heart these days, no matter where you're coming from. You may be a bit of a badger. You're ready for all of this to be over, and even now you want to go out there and take on the world. Or you may be a bit of a possum. You'd rather stay home and play dead so that you don't end up that way. Both perspectives have their strong points. Or you may be an owl observing the whole thing from a distance and trying to stay above it all, just waiting for the right moment to swoop into the supermarket or wherever else you need to be. All of us see this in unique ways. I don't know, you may be another kind of animal entirely. We're all different. Thank God for that. So the real challenge is, in our differences, how do we live wisely together? Let all that you do be done in love. You know, it won't be long before we meet together again as a church, Lord willing. Now, instead of months, it will be weeks. And I'm so looking forward to that. But before we do, our leadership team is carefully and prayerfully considering the wisest approaches to keeping everyone safe. We've chosen not to meet until after Memorial Day, not only because the curve is higher in Durham than in most places in our state, but also because the curve has increased recently among us. It had dropped for a while, but again, it has gone up recently. So when we come together, we're going to be doing some things differently, and we may meet outside for a couple of Sundays. Whatever we do, whatever actions we take, we're going to be careful to do so in deference to one another, without a critical spirit, not judging each other, but taking care of each other with love. And this is where I really want to encourage you to continue, just keep up the good work that you have been doing, church. I've had so many opportunities to watch you as you have loved each other and taken care of each other. Some of you have made masks and taken them to shut-ins and those who need them. Others have given of your resources to make sure that other brothers and sisters have enough. Some of you have run errands for others or mowed lawns and checked in on others and sent cards and prepared meals and so many phone calls. It's been such a blessing to see how you're serving our Lord and serving each other so faithfully. And it's a reminder that he is at work in our church in a beautiful way. And I think there's a particular reason for that we'll get to a little later. But keep it up, Peace Church. Keep it up. This has to be the spirit in which we move forward. Let all that you do be done in love. We started with verse 14, that one. So let's go back for a moment to verse 13. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. That's what the verb literally says in the Greek. Be strong. In other words, be courageous. Be strong. Earlier in 1 Corinthians in chapter 8, Paul had written to some of those in the church who had differences about some minor things. By the way, that's something that I'm grateful for in our Evangelical Presbyterian Church. We have a list of essentials, the things that really matter about our faith. For example, the divinity of Jesus Christ, you know, the Trinity. You know, there. You might go to epc.org and look up some of these things. But the motto of our denomination is in essentials, unity, in non-essentials, liberty, in all things, charity. And so what we're dealing with here are some non-essentials from the standpoint of the faith, and how do we handle them together? And Paul was dealing with the same thing when he was addressing the church in Corinth. And the issue there was one we don't encounter so much today. It was about eating meat sacrificed to idols. But he sums it up basically by saying, if your perspective causes harm to your brother or sister spiritually, your brother and sister for whom Christ died, then don't go there. Take care of one another, because this is what Jesus did for us. Now, you may have strong opinions about what we should or shouldn't do in this crisis. Many of us do. But we have to be careful there, don't we? As my son reminded me once when I said something kind of off the cuff, did you run that by Jesus first? The measure of our love is one of the best measures of our strength and spiritual maturity. It's not what you know, really, it's who you know. So, some Christians know a lot and think themselves wise and mature because of it, but if they aren't loving, they're missing the very point of what they think they know. When Paul writes, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, that's the literal translation of the Greek word again, be courageous, be strong. What he's saying is, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus and act like him. As long as we keep our hearts close to Jesus, We will do just fine in this, and we won't have to worry. And we can trust him to guard us and get us through every step of the way. And this is where that thing which I mentioned earlier that I think has made such a difference for us as a church really comes in, and that is prayer. Because as we pray for each other, Jesus moves through us. His love meets us and blesses us and gives us insights that we would not have otherwise. So we do well to ask, is Jesus' love evident in me? Would those who are close to me say that they see it in me, that they see him? Let's take a moment right now and ask that question before him, ponder it before him, and ask him to fill us with his spirit and with more love for him and for each other. Let's give ourselves to him as we pray and ask for more of himself. Because remember again, it's not what you know, it's who you know. As Jarek plays, let's pray.
Thank you.
The other day, Carrie was in a hurry on the way out the door to go to her work at Duke Hospital when she couldn't find her keys. And that's unusual for her. She usually doesn't lose them. So we spent several minutes looking. She went through the kitchen. I searched the car. Then she searched the bedroom and tried to retrace her steps. And her mother came out to help as well. And you know how that is when you start to look for something. And the longer it goes on, the more frazzled you become because you're looking and looking everywhere you think it could be, and it isn't there. And finally, I found myself standing in the middle of the hall, and I realized, wait a minute, there's something we haven't done. We haven't prayed. So I bowed my head, and I prayed aloud right there, Lord, please help us to find these keys. She's got to get to work. And while I was praying, it was just, this is the amazing thing. While I was praying, a thought came to mind. Have you checked your coat? Have you checked your coat? I took three steps, opened the closet door right there in the hall, and sure enough, there they were. Have you ever noticed how when we pray, God has ways of putting a thought in your mind? I've seen it so many times. I think it's one of the greatest hidden benefits of prayer. Because you and I have access to the genius of our Creator who wants us to come to Him, who calls us to pray continually. And we either let that in or we don't. And when we let God into our moments, our problems, our relationships, our plans, our hopes and dreams, He has a way of saying, hey, what about this? Have you given this a try? You know, I'm fascinated by this. And I'm not saying that every time I pray about lost car keys, I find them. That's not the case. But I have found that this is a consistent principle of prayer. That the more I go to God, the more He meets me and gives me ideas that did not come from me. And there's the way to tell that tends to be there's a certain light about His ideas. You know, Jesus said, I know my sheep and they know me. And He talked about how we know His voice. And it's not that you necessarily hear a literal voice, but many of us can talk about how this has happened in our lives. There's just an impression. There's a thought. Oh, this is what I need to do. So I'm not trying to super spiritualize every moment. But isn't it interesting that when Jesus talks about spiritual maturity, He says that we have to become like little children to enter the kingdom of God. And children are dependent. They can't take care of themselves, and they know it. And so they ask for help in some of the most basic things. Any mom who's had a four-year-old who says, come wipe me, any dad who's had that child can tell you that. And we laugh at things like that, but it's also endearing because our children need our help. And don't you have to wonder if God doesn't look at us and say, oh, what a mess you're in if you would only ask for my help. And when you and I grow in our dependence on God, oh, it's then that we're also growing in maturity in Him. And it's then that we grow in love for Him and love for others. And it will not happen, not in the way it should, if we don't make prayer a priority in our hearts and lives. We do well to note that it was the same person who said, pray continually. Paul, who wrote these words. Oh, we need to live close to our Savior more and more. We need to call on His name in the moment, to let His love in so that it flows from us and out from us in everything we do, so that everything we do can be done in love. There's the connection, praying about everything and letting everything we do be done in love. It happens by letting Him in. Oh, keep loving each other, church. It's such a beautiful thing to see. And the more we seek His face in prayer, the more we'll look like Him. He is love, and He will lead us every step of the way. So let's go to Him now. I'm going to pray, and then Jarek is going to play again. Father, thank You. Thank You that You're right here. You've promised never to leave us, never to forsake us. Thank You that You've given us Your Spirit, and that as we pray, You pour more of Your Spirit into us. Help us to do this, Lord, to depend on You, to cling to You. Thank You, Father, that You've made this the measure of our maturity. The more we're dependent on You, oh, the more of You we have. Maybe someone listening has never received You. I pray for that person right now. Dear one, if you're listening to me as I pray, a simple prayer of surrender, saying, yes, Lord, I'm tired of running things my way. I'm tired of it always having to be my way, and it's not easy for me to pray this, but oh, I need You. I want Your way. I ask for You to come in and to forgive me of all of my sins and help me to live for You and with You and in Your love. Save me and set me free to be Your very own, Your very child. He's promised that if we pray that prayer sincerely, He will meet us and be with us. Lord, thank You for the wonder of all that You are. Thank You, You will lead us. We worship You. In Jesus' name. Amen.